Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this hour, Dating Detox. Mel, is the dating situation out there, is it a little bit toxic? Maybe a lot toxic, or maybe you have experienced a toxic relationship or the toxicity of some of the dating apps and all that kind of thing. Well, you can detox from that. It's more than possible. I know because I have the book in my hand, Dating Detox, 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. That's by Kevin and Lisa Cotter. And Lisa Cotter joins us as our guest today. Kevin and Lisa have worked for a long time with Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And now Ignatius Press has this beautiful book out, Dating Detox, 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. Our number, if you have questions about detox from the current dating scene and maybe finding something healthier and more human for yourself and for others, give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. Lisa Cotter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So you wrote the book. I'm guessing you wrote the book Dating Detox because you think everybody out there in the dating world today is wrong and probably bad and doing just evil things. And you wanted to fix the whole world and repair that.
Exactly.
Is that it, really?
No, of course not. No.
Okay. So what is your sense of what's going on in the world, dating world?
Yes. Even the dating world itself, if you ask a millennial, what does that mean? They'll have a hard time answering that. It's a really interesting culture that we live in right now. So the dating detox then, this toxic dating culture that we live in is really what we're going after. Whenever I speak on this concept or this talk, I will ask people, you know, raise your hand if you think we live in a toxic dating culture. And inevitably, every hand goes up.
Really?
So everybody knows there's...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So everybody knows there's something not right, whether they are into their faith or not. They know there's something not right with the way that we date, the way that we have relationships. And they can't always put their finger on it, but they know there's something toxic going on there.
Okay. And the roots of that, in your view, I mean, I suppose, you know, we could probably look all over to things like social media. And I imagine the spread of pornography and pornographic material to be available everywhere and all these other things. But do you have a sense of what's the root? What's at the root of this toxicity?
Yeah, the root is that we, at least I believe, we live in a culture of use. It really comes down to people no longer seeing others as human beings with souls, with a purpose, with great value and dignity. But we often think to ourselves first selfishly, what can I get out of this? And we see dating as what's in it for me, not how can I help this person grow? How can I help them become a better person? How can I help them to achieve the life that God has planned for them? And so it's rooted all of that, whether it be pornography, whether that be the hookup culture, whether that be dating apps, it's really rooted in use.
That strikes me a lot, that Pope Francis's idea of the throwaway culture when he talks about people as something that's just throwaway.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what we see. And it's permeating our society. And so, of course, it's going to bleed into the way that we date and the way that we relate to each other when it comes to relationships.
So in a situation like that, where everybody raises their hand in agreement that the situation is toxic, you don't – I joked with you a little bit at the beginning, but it's not necessary to say – evil here, evil there, stop and do, you know, all we really need to say is there is a path to happiness. There is a way to be happy and to maybe find your soulmate, or if not your soulmate, find that person that you can make a full life with.
Right. Yeah. And I think everybody wants that. They desire that. But they don't see that path. They don't have any idea, oh, how do I get there? How do I actually get to a place where I can be in a non, you know, toxic dating culture, and where can I find that freedom that I desire? I think ultimately it's about, you know, the freedom to love and be loved. And we live in a culture that's very binding, and it really prevents us from being able to achieve that that God-given gift and plan for us. We were made to love and be loved, to be able to love and be loved.
Dating Detox is our topic. The book Dating Detox is, as I said, 40 days. Why? Why 40 days? What was your thinking there?
Yes, absolutely. It's very much a habit building book. And what we did in the book is we wanted to take the best of what we know about science and the way that we work as humans, the way the human brain works. And we wanted to combine it with our rich Catholic history and say, you know what, there is a way to solve this problem. The Catholic Church actually has the answers for how do we gain that freedom to love and be loved. But it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And it's not possible to just go to one talk or read one book and say, great, I'm just going to change everything I've ever done, the way that I think, the way that I act. And now it's just, you know, I've got it. So we knew it needed to be a process. We knew it takes time to build a virtue, to build a habit. Science will tell us 21 days. Well, chastity's a lot. So we said, let's go 40. Let's go 40 to get to that point of redeveloping habits, retraining our minds, retraining our bodies, the way that we react to things, to be able to build that virtue.
And how are people responding to it? Have you talked to people who have gone through the 40 days?
I have. And it's honestly, it's amazing. I'm so excited and grateful for how people have been responding. We've heard amazing stories from people literally all across the world who have read the book, and things like people telling me, you know, I didn't know it was possible to feel this free. I thought it was a line, you know, this Christian ideal, this line like, oh yeah, sure, you can have this freedom to love and be loved. God made you to love and be loved. Well, that's not available to me, is what people would tell me. And then they've gone through this book and gotten to the end and said, I had no idea that this was for me. I had no idea that I could be this free, that I could achieve this place in my life where I can look at dating with a healthy lens and I can look at relationships in a whole new way.
So, if you're a person who maybe needs some help with the dating detox, or you're part of the hookup culture and you like to know where is the hope, where can you find that hope? Can you start again? You personally, can you start again? Well, we'd love to take your calls, 888-318-7884. Maybe you're the parent of someone caught up in this culture, and you look at that and say, I just don't want them to come to the kind of despair that this leads to. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about solutions. We're not going to spend our time just pounding our heads against the wall about the fact that it's a problem. We know it's a problem. Everyone in this, as you were just saying, Lisa, even people profoundly involved in the dating world today, they see that it's a problem. What are some solutions? 888-318-7884, the number. You mentioned chastity. I wonder how that word strikes the young, because, you know, we don't want it just to be preaching to the choir here. I mean, your message is for folks who are all caught up in it, you know, in the way things are done today, in the media stuff, in the social media stuff, often, I'm sure, in the pornography stuff, all that. And that word chastity, doesn't that just bring the conversation to a screeching halt? Or are people open to hearing it?
Yes, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. That word, I can remember, you know, it brings me back to the talk in high school, you know, and you just like, the word just makes me cringe, honestly. And it's such a beautiful virtue. But unfortunately, yeah, that's where we're at in our culture. We look at that word and it's just almost laughable. So I tend to not use that word chastity as much as I can. I know I've mentioned it here already on the air, but in the book, we really talk about it as this freedom to love and be loved, which is really what the virtue of chastity is about. But that word itself doesn't tend to connect with people. It doesn't tend to speak to their felt need, doesn't tend to speak to their heart with what it is that they're desiring. It's what they want ultimately, but they don't know that that's the word for it, that that's the virtue for it.
I'm going to try to kind of sum up some of your thesis. You tell me if I'm in the ballpark or not. And again, I'll give that number out, 888-318-7884. But it seems to me that at root, there's a message here that if I were to boil it down would be, if you want love, do those things that lead to love.
That's great. I like that.
Does that sum it up for you?
Yeah. Yep. Oh. It's about building the habits, building the ability to live that freedom that's available to us.
And I just wonder how many of these young people, though, just don't believe in love anymore. I don't ever like to say these things in a way to blame anyone, but they've certainly grown up in a media culture that has lied to them since the day they were born. And they've grown up in a society in which if their own parents have remained together, many of their friends' parents have not. And so they see this broad kind of divorce thing that gives them a real pause, a real sense of anxiety about, can I do this and is this for me? So what do you say to if the person just doesn't have confidence that love and the way and a truly lifelong fulfilling love is possible for them?
Absolutely. That's such a great question. And that's a question that, you know, I myself asked and we ourselves asked. And so a large part of the book before we wrote it is we spent hours interviewing people intentionally for this book, not just conversations we've had over the years, but very intentionally asking, have you gone from this desire of wanting this freedom to love and be loved to being able to live it? And if so, how did you do it?
I see.
So we use those stories, and they're real stories. Every story in the book, 100% real. None of these are, you know, scenarios about fake Tom. No, it's real Tom. This is really his life, his story. And we weave those throughout the book. It's not a book of testimonies, but we use their stories to illustrate points. And through the power of those stories, you see people who've actually done this. You see them living their lives in a way that's led them away from the hookup culture to where they are now, to a place of peace. And it's not perfect. Nothing's going to be perfect, but they're at a place in their life where they actually have peace and joy and hope when it comes to dating. And you do get to see some stories go all the way from, hey, we were a couple who was, had no faith when we started dating, we were sleeping together, to we actually had to transform our entire relationship and back the truck up and stop sleeping together until we got married. And so we tell all those stories, and you get to see as the reader, this isn't just some pie in the sky ideal, but these are actual people who have done this, and you can do it too. God created you to be able to do this too.
Dating Detox is the book. Lisa Cotter is our guest. She and her husband, Kevin, produced the book Dating Detox. It is, I think, as you pointed out right from the very beginning, by general agreement, by general assent, we can call this a toxic environment, the current state of dating and relationships for single young people. And not just young people, but in general, for single young people, is a toxic environment. How can people find a way to a truly human kind of relationship? That's what we're all about this afternoon on this second hour of Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terrence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Very serious subject this hour. When we are perfectly willing to have fun. We're not beyond having fun, but it is a quite serious subject because lots and lots of lives depend on it. That is, that people find out who they really are and what it really means to be in a relationship with another human being that is fully human, fully loving, and fully open in a way that makes it possible to give and receive the kind of love that we all want to give and receive. Our guest is Lisa Cotter. And Lisa, she's the author of Dating Detox with her husband, Kevin. He just did the typing. She did all the real thinking on this book. Is that right, Lisa? Am I?
No, it's more a joint effort.
Oh, was it really? Okay, I thought you were going to say that Kevin just typed. But would you – we're made for love. Is that – would you agree with that statement?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But we don't have the practical tools to get there. Yeah, it seems like in our society, we're less and less equipped with tools that will get us there.
Yes, absolutely. And the tools that we did have seem to be getting more and more skewed. And we're getting new, interesting tools that make it even more challenging.
So could you open that up for me a little bit? Like the tools that we did have are skewed. What do you mean by that?
No time or culture, I think, has ever gotten, you know, this whole concept of how do you find your spouse if you're called to marriage correct.
Adam and Eve, I got it correct. There was only one choice at the time. There was no way they could get it wrong. But since then, okay, all right, I'll go with you. Since then, yeah.
There you go. Since then, our fallen nature, you know, is always going to skew things. But we live in a very interesting time where with technology, the world is just opened up in a new way. And it's not that we want to shun technology completely and that it's bad right. and evil. Obviously, we're on a radio show right now. But it's adding a different dynamic. It used to be that you would find your spouse just usually within your community and somebody who, you know, you had grown up with probably, who you'd seen throughout your whole life, and somebody who both of your families looked at and said, yes, this would be a good match. And now, I mean, there's literally billions of options out there that are available to you. And that in itself can overwhelm singles. And there's this feeling of, gosh, this is a lot of pressure to pick just one person.
Right.
How am I supposed to find that one person among the millions who are available to me?
Yeah, I never felt that. I must have, as a young person in the 70s and 80s, I never had the feeling there are millions of people available to me. I was born in the wrong era. How about we take a call, Lisa? That all
great.
Right? All right, Lisa Cotter, our guest, our topic, Dating Detox, 888-318-7884. Our number, we go now to Nathaniel in Portland, Oregon, listening on 88.3 Modern Day Radio. Nathaniel, your question or comment for Lisa Cotter.
You know, I told Lisa that it was basically, it does come down to selflessness. And I think it starts with the man. I think that he needs to be able to be humble enough and not, I think he needs to be patient. I think because of all the deception in the world now. And, you guys hit on a good point as far as we are bombarded with options, and it's hard to, you know, am I going to settle for this one? Is this the one? And, you know, it requires a relationship with the Lord where you are getting the truth, and he'll reveal it to you.
Lisa, what do you make of that, about men and the our society certainly does not commend restraint and patience in men, certainly in sexual matters today?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of women feel that pressure of, well, gosh, I guess I have to settle and I have to just take what's in front of me, or I have to be lonely and by myself. And they don't see it as an option. Sometimes it's almost like, well, it's either I'm, you know, by myself for the rest of my life, or I just have to settle. And a lot of times, women, when they don't hold the bar high enough, men say, oh, great. I guess I don't have to reach that high, so I can just continue doing what I want to do, living, you know, in a selfish way, or living in a way that's, you know, based upon use, this culture of use. I can get what I want out of this relationship and I don't have to really try that hard. And it's just kind of this cycle that really perpetuates itself.
And does it become a kind of thing where where for a young woman, she might feel, I'm just going to be left behind because there's other people that are all willing, and in this atmosphere, if I'm a prude, I suppose would be, you know, then I'm left out of the whole. I'm just not part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have girls tell me all the time, like, well, Lisa, what do you want me to do? Like this, it's either this or I don't date. Like, so do you expect me just to spend my whole life lonely and by myself? Because I don't really have an option. That's what they think. They think there's no other option. It's either take these guys and enter into the hookup culture or be alone.
Yeah. It seems like a trick. I mean, I hate to say it, but it seems like a trick my generation played on women was this idea that what we need for women to be happy is this total sexual liberation kind of thing. But that's a trap for women.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a protection, you know, for women before the sexual revolution, before our contraceptive culture, that was a form of protection for women so that they weren't just able to give their bodies away and men didn't just expect them to do that because there were consequences that came with it that are now gone. And with that comes the protection of a woman.
Yep. 888-318-7884, the number. You divide the book into six different sections, and those sections are then divided down into day one, day two, day three, up until day 40. Some of these let me just give the six sections. Getting started is one. So then you got 7 days of getting started. So what do you say to people about getting started? What do you say to people about how, okay, I have been part of this hookup culture, or I have been part of this just kind of sexually licentious or pornographic culture. How do I get started on a new life and a new way of being that's going to lead me to more happiness?
Yeah, the first week is really just about kind of laying some foundations and wiping the slate clean. And so with each of those days in the 40-day process, there's what we call the daily detox challenge. And that's something tangible that you're doing. It's not reflection questions, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's really something that you're doing to build this habit. And so in that first week, we have people begin to commit to a prayer life, just admitting from the beginning, listen, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Like it is beyond us to be able to detox from this culture on our own. And we have them go to confession and just let's wipe the slate clean. Let's start over. Let's not allow that guilt, that shame to hang over our heads and put up a wall between us and our Lord. We have them set up an accountability partner, making sure that there's someone who's there walking with them in this and checking in on them, making sure that they're following through with what it is that they want, the person who's reading the book themselves want. And so we just want to lay some foundations to make sure that a person can succeed as we go forward. Because without those foundations, the rest of the book just kind of it seems overwhelming.
And then you move on, and we'll go through them. But next is Made for Love. And what is it that you want people? That's the second week, is Made for Love. What is it you want people to come out of that week with?
During that week, we talk a lot about how did God create us? You know, he is our creator. He's the author of life. And so he knows best how we work. And so we want to look at, well, what was God's intended plan? What was his design all along for love and dating and sex? And with that new lens in mind and keeping that at the forefront of our mind, it makes it a lot easier moving forward to understand. So here's why we're going to do what we're going to do. Here's how or why we need to reorder things with a different view.
Then comes physical passions and emotional passions, two big sections, 2 weeks. But we hang on. We're going to have to go to a caller first. That's
great.
See, that's a tease right there. Laura in St. Louis, Missouri, watching on YouTube. Laura, your question for Lisa Cotter.
Hi, Lisa. I'm so excited to be on air with you right now. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks, Lauren.
So my question is, I'm a young adult. And many of my fellow young female friends and I are out and about a lot, even at like Catholic events, all kinds of things. And yet men do not seem to not be asking women out as much as maybe they used to. And I'm wondering if you have any advice or if you could elaborate on how to empower men to lead and to ask women on dates.
Wait, hang on, Laura, let me just clarify something. You're saying women would like to be asked on dates by men?
Yes.
Okay, my personal dating record suggests otherwise, but I'll go ahead. Lisa, is that the case that men are failing to ask women on dates now?
Yes, it is. Lauren, I hear you, I know. I know. And it is. It's so hard. Yes. Women are always like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't want to throw myself at these guys. I want to give them the opportunity to lead. But at the same time, honestly, Lauren, like the guys, they're paralyzed by fear. They're so afraid that they're going to screw it up. They're so afraid that they don't have what it takes when it comes to a relationship. And they look at these great holy Catholic women and they're like, I can't like live up to her expectations. And so they kind of hide in fear. And it makes it really hard because you're like, there's Catholic men here. There's Catholic women here. Like, why is this so difficult?
Yeah right.
Yeah. So I hope this comes out the right way. But I do think that as women, there are ways that you can help encourage a guy without like taking over, if that makes sense.
Could you share some of those when we come back from the break? Because we got to take a quick break.
You bet.
Okay. How you, as a Catholic woman, could help a Catholic man do what he's supposed to do and ask you out on a date. We'll be right back with more discussion of Dating Detox with the author, one of the two authors of the book Dating Detox, 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. Lisa Cotter wrote that with her husband, Kevin. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live. I know you're not cousins. I don't know.
Hi, this is Philip Rivers, NFL quarterback, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We've all heard the phrase, the new evangelization. In previous centuries, missionaries would travel to foreign lands to evangelize, but today's missionaries are more likely to focus on fallen away Catholic neighbors or relatives. But what about the old evangelization? The two millennia of Catholic missionary efforts by the likes of St. Paul, St. Augustine of Canterbury, St. Francis Xavier, and most importantly, our Lord Himself. We must not forget the methods they used to spread the faith to the farthest reaches of the world. Our situation may be new, but the essentials of evangelization always remain the same. In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, author Eric Sammons provides a practical guide to putting these essentials into practice in everyday use in your interactions with family, friends, coworkers, and even fellow parishioners. Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for the best and solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Stop in today and visit the shop at Catholic.com. All of our resources are time-tested, apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the Internet. When you're shopping for good Catholic books, CD, DVDs, and more, turn to someone you can trust. Visit the shop at Catholic.com today. That's shop.catholic.com.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking dating detox. Well, we're talking about the toxic atmosphere that people who are of the dating age and in the dating process live in and swim in these days. That atmosphere probably having all kinds of causes, going back to the sexual revolution of the 60s all the way up to the invention of brand new apps practically on a daily basis. We want to talk in a very real way about that. We want to welcome any call at all about how to address in a fully human way and in a Catholic Christian way the hookup culture, the culture of dating as it is now. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you would like to give us some tips on that, or if you would like some tips yourself, give us a call, 888 888- 888-3184-888-3131-TRUTH. Lisa Cotter, who along with her husband, Kevin, is the author of the book Dating Detox, now out from Ignatius Press and the Augustine Institute, is our guest. And when we went to the break, we've still got Laura on the line, Lisa. And when we went to the break, you were talking about, you said you might have some tips for how to help a young man move to the point where he will ask a young woman on a date.
Yeah, and this is a tricky one because I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to say like, go girl power and like take your own destiny into your hands. And, you know, but I think that it's not inappropriate for if you are interested in a guy to be able to give him some clues to encourage him along, you know, not in this like throw yourself at him flirtatious way, but, you know, are you reaching out and having conversations with him? Are you, you know, showing those signs of interest in who he is and what he's about and asking, are you going to be at that event? Like, oh, that'll be great. I'll see you there. And just trying to kind of open up that door to give him some confidence in himself to be able to ask that guy out, to ask you out. I think it's really encouraging for him because they're just scared. They're just worried. They're just not confident in who they are oftentimes. And it's easier to just kind of hang out than to make any kind of a commitment.
And I suppose it's just intimidating for everyone. Nobody really knows what the scene is. But Jeff on Facebook says he has heard of the other thing happening, though, of guys being dumped because they're too nice, putting quotes. Have you heard this?
Okay. So if a girl does that, honestly, in my experience, that's usually just an excuse to try to get out of the relationship and they don't want to have to, actually state really what's going on. Girls, they're kind of a little notorious for doing things like this, but coming up with, well, maybe this won't hurt him if I phrase it this way, when really what they just need to say is, listen, this just doesn't seem to be working for me and I'm just not interested. Now, could there be a girl, you know, who does see a guy as too nice? Well, if that's the case, then maybe that's not the kind of girl that you're looking for. If she's, you know, thinking like, oh, well, he's not, you know, as I don't know what by he's too nice, you know.
Right. So either she's attempting to kind of let him down easily, mm-hmm. or that's an odd thing to say to someone because being nice is not generally thought of as a problem.
Right. Yeah.
So there's some other message getting through there. All right. Laura, thank you very, very much for that call. I'm fascinated by all of this because it's been a long time, you know, and it really, truly is. It seems in many ways like, well, dating and all that was the same for like thousands of years. And then the internet happened and now nothing's the same. That's the way it seems to old people.
And it changes too so quickly. I mean, every couple months, something new or some, you know, just the way that we're globally connected, you know, trends just move so quickly. And so the way that we date even 5 years ago is different from the way that we interact in romantic relationships today.
Right.
And so it's interesting because it's almost hard to get a grasp on sometimes because it's just constantly in flux, constantly changing, constantly new terms, new ways of going about things. And it's a lot to try to keep up with.
Yeah. And then, right. And then you're kind of being scored on Facebook and these other things too, where people, then I know people put a lot of information on there about other people, for example, and that, so it's hard to take risks because these risks can have permanent consequences, not just an uncomfortable evening or something like that.
Oh yeah. Cause everybody knows about
everything.
Your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Jennifer in Algonquin, Illinois, listening on 88.5 to EWTN. Jennifer, your question for Lisa Cotter.
Hi. First of all, I love this whole conversation. It's just fantastic. So I've been enmeshed in the hookup culture as a Catholic, so you feel like you have to be countercultural, and very intentionally so. So my experience being asked out has been usually they're just asking for one night and they're not asking for a relationship. And on the flip side, the ones that I have been drawn to actually ironically have gone to become priests. So at least I know my heart's right.
Hey, well, thank you for your service to the church. But Lisa, anything you have to say about that?
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm so sorry. It is. It's so hard, and you're absolutely right. I get to speak across the country, and that's the same story I hear. Usually it's almost like a trial run. Like, you know, well, I just want to like hook up with you first, and then maybe if you're worth it, we might spend some more time together. And that's a horrible place to put a woman in, and up for a man too. You know, when I talk to guys, if they're being raw and honest with me, they'll tell me that actually the hookup culture isn't as great as it appears, because there's kind of some anxiety about it when it's just about the physical side. And there's a lot of feelings of like their manhood being almost rated, you know, in that one hookup night. So there's like a lot of pressure that takes away from, well, obviously it's not at all within the context of what it's supposed to be. And so that's going to be an added factor as well. But yes. And then Jennifer to have to deal with either they're, you know, just trying to use me, or it's just a hookup, or they're so great that they discern becoming a priest. And that can be a little, not disheartening that they have a vocation, but it can be a little frustrating, like, oh, so all the good guys become priests. So, well, what's left for me then?
Is that how you feel, Jennifer?
On occasion, but I kind of I try to grin and say, okay, well, at least my standards are in the right place. If my standard kind of is on par with, we call them a priesthood, I guess they're looking for holiness. So that's reassuring.
Well, it's reassuring, to know that you're right, that when you pick a man, it's a good man. But at least the evidence would suggest. But you need one to pick you and not the priesthood.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of the problem in the hookup culture is the lack of patience. I know for me, because of the hookup culture, it takes me a while to actually, you really trust someone. So for me, before I even think about wanting to ask someone out, it's like I've gotten to know them for a bit. I'm like, okay, you're a cool person, but I don't think that's really encouraged. So there's a lot of guys who are, they want to skip building trust, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to have a mature relationship. And we live in such a, I want it now, I get it now, fast-paced culture, that the idea of having to take time for something, to grow something, to earn that trust, to earn that confidence in each other and in your relationship, it's like, that seems like too much work when I can just get on Tinder and swipe and maybe, you know, find some kind of pleasure real quick.
Jennifer, while we have you here, if I could ask you both as women, if you have any sense that we're not preparing men well for that young men are not being prepared well for relationships in general because of, well, pornography is the one thing that is a constant, it seems. And there's a kind of also immaturing of males. If you see the male represented in the media, it's the male who's the perpetual adolescent, who's kind of the hero of much of the media. Whereas in an earlier generation, it might have been a male like, you know, Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. Now it's the kind of the pothead who's got nothing going on, who's the hero of these movies. I wonder, as women, what's your thought on that? Are we preparing men well enough?
Jennifer, do you want to go first? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, my perspective comes from being a convert. My teenage rebellion was becoming Catholic. So I went through public school and I went through the secular world in a very secular way. And the loudest voices are that hookup culture where, you know, it's cool to, you know, be loose or be a player. I mean, it's cool to speak that way and to act that way. And I think because that is so prevalent, they think it's okay. Now, that's kind of what I've seen just on the secular side. Later on, I became Catholic and going to Mass, and it's like, okay, I'm being formed better. But I think it needs to be spoken of more directly and just more frankly.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think we kind of have a general lack of kind of like what we see in the movies and in our media. You know, there's not much of an example to our young men of here's what it means to be a man. And so they're just playing off of the playbook that they get from the culture and off of the playbook, honestly, that they're seeing from the men who should be their role models. You know, they went through the sexual revolution in the 60s, and that's what they saw dating and women to be. And so they're just kind of taking cues from what they've seen before. And so, I mean, I always hate it when these conversations sound as if we're just like dogging on guys, you know, it's like, just step it up, man, like be more manly, you know, because it's not all their fault.
No.
But I think it's just, it's more visible to see how they may not be living up to their call and answering that call to be men of virtue, to be men who uphold the worth and value and dignity of women. And it's just a lot easier not to. And so they say, well, great, if that's what the rest of the world is doing and that's what they're telling me, even though in my heart I know it's not right and it doesn't feel right, I'm just going to skirt that because there must be something wrong with me. Like I've got this guilt that's ridiculous when really, no, it's your conscience speaking out.
Jennifer, thanks very much for the call. And we'll pick on women when we come back. I actually have a very serious, no, really a serious question about how women might be being encouraged to blow it.
Perfect.
We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Pope Francis said, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus speaks of fraternal correction. If your brother sins against you, tell him his fault privately. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along as witnesses. Such persons are called in for their objective input, not to convict, but to convince the sinner of his fault. Only in the last resort must the matter be brought to official notice, for the sake of the individual and the community as well. Often we hear the entreaty, "Do not judge lest ye be judged," but no one is asserting another's state of soul here. We do no one any good by refraining to correct simply for the sake of keeping the peace or avoiding another's displeasure with us. Such is not the way of love. This applies to society, the diocese, the parish, and our own families. It makes us consider just how much we really love one another. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Dating Detox, our topic for the hour. It's a toxic environment out there for many people looking for love and finding everything except love. Our guest this hour is Lisa Cotter, along with her husband Kevin, wrote the book Dating Detox. And you said you didn't want this all to be about picking on men, so I want to pick on women for a minute, if I may, and get your response to that. And that is, I do think, one of the most important things that we do in our life, man or woman, is find a spouse, settle down, have children. I know that there are very many other paths people take, but for the vast majority of people, that's the most important thing they're ever going to do. And I believe young women today do not treat it as important. They treat career and other things as important, and they act like somehow it's not feminist enough or something to be concerned about who will I marry, where will I live, and what will my family be like.
Yeah, we've grown up in the girl power era. I know I was taught that as a child of the 80s and the 90s. You know, you can do anything a boy can do. Go get them. And I can remember in eighth grade, we had to write a letter to ourselves. And in it, I talked about, you know, how I was going to wait and get married until I'd established my career. And, you know, like it was, where do you see yourself in 20 years? Kind of a letter. And looking at that letter, I'm like, oh, wow, I got married at 21. That didn't work out so well. But yeah, I think there's something to be said for this pressure that's put on us as women to be the woman who has it all. Like, we have to prove ourselves to the world in every way, shape, and form. And we feel that pressure. And we feel like, well, if I don't, you know, establish my career and become this woman who can prove that she can do anything a man can do, then I'm less of a woman. And that's very much what I felt, that pressure, right, myself. And I think that there's something to be said of, if you're so focused on your career and you know, you're like, well, I'm just going to save that marriage thing for later, that you see women who get to their late 20s, their early 30s, their mid 30s or late 30s. And then they go, well, where's that family that I wanted to? And they've just been so tunnel vision, trying to prove themselves to the world about how, you know, they're going to be this woman who can do it all, that they forget to be pursuing that big V vocation that God has called them to. So I think that if you discern through and pray through what your vocation is, you need to start taking steps to be open to that, so God can bring that person into your life when he sees fit. And that might mean, you know, making sure that you're hanging out with other singles and not just isolating yourself to your own apartment or to your work world and becoming a workaholic. But realizing that God's time might not be your time, and having that idea of, yes, I have a vocation. God has a plan for my life, and I need to make sure that I'm open to that and pursuing that with the same kind of passion that I am my work.
All right, we go to Josh in Eugene, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Josh, your question for Lisa Cotter.
Awesome. Thanks for letting me on. So I know that obviously we believe, and it states in the Catechism, that, you know, our passions are neither good or bad on themselves, and that we do have these passions and, you know, these emotional desires, and that Lisa, you and Kevin have kind of talked about how to address those emotional desires. So I was wondering what kind of practical and legitimate ways there are to kind of address those in a virtuous manner without kind of falling into what the culture tells us to do.
Awesome. Such a great question. Yeah, we spend a whole week just talking about the emotional passions, kind of that emotional side to relationships and how that can get twisted. And like you said, you know, the emotions are not good or bad. It's what we do with them, how we react to them, that really matters. I think practically one thing that we talk about in the book, and one thing that's important for all people to understand, is making sure that our emotions are always leading towards the good, that they're leading us towards what is good and true and beautiful. And they're not looking inwardly and selfishly. So saying, well, how do I feel? And what do I feel about how I feel? And how do I feel about how I feel? But making sure that our emotions are integrated into our relationship. It can be, I think, one thing that you see a lot in relationships, especially those who are pursuing chaste relationships, sometimes the emotions can be what gets twisted, where you just kind of get this tunnel vision of, well, I just want love so badly that I'm going to, you know, project onto this person that they're the perfect person for me. And it's love itself that you're kind of become obsessed with, as opposed to helping the person grow in virtue. And you're more concerned with your own emotions and feelings and just wanting love so badly that you're allowing yourself to be blinded by the reality of the relationship, which is what the emotions can do if they're not properly ordered.
Josh?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think, you know, that obviously leads into just the freedom that we feel from not being, you know, a victim to our emotions and how crazy they are. So, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. And I should point out the dating detox. We got to weeks 1 and 2. There's 6 weeks, 40 days. The next 2 weeks after 1 and 2 are bodily passions and – wait. No, physical passions and emotional passions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so if somebody goes through those 2 weeks, then they will have fully integrated their physical and emotional passions into their life, and they'll never have a problem with chastity again. Is that what you're...
Oh, if it were only that simple. Yeah, no, not quite. Yeah, the physical passions week really looks a lot at theology of the body.
Yep.
And J2's teachings there. And then the emotional passions weeks more talks about love and responsibility, which is kind of his precursor. And there, JP2 talks a lot about the emotions and where the emotions fit into relationships and how they can become twisted and no longer lead to love. But the emotions can actually lead to use if we're just using this person for an emotional high and for those good feelings and just that butterfly, you know, just kind of hitting that up.
Right, right. Well, thank you very much for that call there. But let's go to now my phone's got all messed up. I'm going to go to Doug in Aiken, South Carolina, listening on EWTN. Doug, your question for Lisa Cotter.
Hey, Lisa. I was
up in South Carolina, and I was approached by a guy. I recorded him, said...
Wait, is that the same Doug that always calls? Oh, Lisa, this guy this guy always calls and he tries to get his website. So the next thing he was going to say was his website. And that's why Nick brought him down. I probably shouldn't be entertained by it, but I find it an entertaining game. So let's go to – he doesn't put New Jersey anymore. He used to put Doug from New Jersey. Now he's Doug from South Carolina. He's a clever devil. Mary – in Las Vegas, Nevada, listening on Immaculate Radio, your question for Lisa Cotter.
Hi, I'm 28. I've dated a little bit. And my question is, how picky is too picky?
Oh, such a good question. Yes. Okay, first of all, good for you for even recognizing that. Because I think for a lot of us, you know, we think like, well, here's my list of 100 things that my guy must have. And if he doesn't meet them all, well, then he's not good enough for me because I'm a princess. Right. And yes, there's some truth to the fact that, yeah, you are a daughter of God. You have immense worth and value. But really, when we're looking at, you know, how picky is too picky, I think, first of all, we want to look at, it's good to have standards. There's nothing wrong with having real legitimate standards. But we want to make sure that those standards are based upon not preferences like, oh, he's got to have blue eyes and, you know, a certain height or whatever. But looking at characteristics that are just, I know I need this from this person in order for this relationship to work. Like, I need somebody who's honest. Like, that's not too high of a standard to want that. But then you also have to couple that with the knowledge of that we're all human and nobody's perfect. So really what you're looking for is this is the type of person who at least knows what the ideal is and is honestly striving for it. So let's say they do fall. Like, okay, but do they come to you and apologize sincerely and make efforts to do better? That's kind of what you're looking for. Like, is there, can you see like those characteristics? Maybe they're not perfected, but can you see this person is genuinely striving for them? So like my husband, he's not perfect. I knew that when I married him. You know, nobody is. But you're looking for, are they at least willing to grow in those areas where they know that they are weak? And are those areas where you can see, yes, this isn't going to be a weakness that is going to affect our relationship so deeply that it's going to make it a challenge for us to be in a relationship for the long term?
Mary, how's that strike you?
That sounds good. I always have the litmus test of, do you want to make more of him for the world? Because kids end up like their parents. But That sounds really good too. That checking to see whether or not you can see them long term, I guess.
Very good, Mary. Thanks very much. I wonder if sometimes if we've become impractical, maybe because of romance movies, about the fact that, you know, it's the decisions you make after marriage that make as much difference. I mean, you don't want to make bad decisions before marriage, but if you give up, if you don't keep working at it, those decisions will make it not work. So finding someone who is going to persevere with you is really, really important, not necessarily finding the person who's the exact right height, which I believe is 5'9". That's what you're saying, guys that are – I just want to get
– Is that your height?
When you – I'm just – this is an abstract question. I'm just saying that's the ideal height, right? Anyway, I thought so. Let's see if we can get another call in here. Let's go to Megan in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on 990 AM. Megan, if you could phrase it somewhat quickly, because we are coming up against the end here.
Yeah, Lisa, I'm just wondering if what your thoughts are, or if you've considered the possibility that women of the, if there's a shift from the baby boomer generation to the millennial generation, from women's perspective, from I want to be superwoman to women's perspective, I'm pursuing my career because it's stable and consistent and it's not going to hurt me because I've been burned in the past. So that they're making the career more of their husband in that instance out of safety rather than out of making themselves into something.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of vulnerability that comes in with a relationship, and it feels like you can control your career a bit more than you can control a person, right? And so, I can definitely see there's like a safety net and a security in the idea of, well, yep, I can pursue my passion, I can pursue my career, and it's not going to require me to maybe get hurt or maybe break my heart. Because even great relationships that are pursuing the Lord, you know, you're still going to have heartbreak sometimes. You know, it's But the question is it the kind of heartbreak where you can look at it and go, I learned something from that, as opposed to the kind of heartbreak where you go, and now I'm broken and devastated because of that.
And we'll have to leave it there. Megan, thanks so much for that call. Lisa Cotter, as much as I really enjoy kidding around with you, but it's the Lord's work you're doing, because this is the very place where so much of our humanity is being wasted in futility and needs to be more fruitful for the good of people so that people can be happy. So thank you for doing it. Dating Detox is the book, 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. You can get it from Ignatius Press. Lisa Cotter, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
Would you do it again sometime?
You bet. This was great.
Okay, good. Lisa is the author of the book, along with her husband, Kevin, who typed it up as she dictated it. We'll see you tomorrow on... Well, maybe that's not true. See you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.